You've heard the voice most Saturday afternoons throughout the course of the year. You just haven't heard him here on a Saturday afternoon. Joining us now, Dan Hicks from NBC Sports. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. It's good to finally be with you. I've heard your show many times. I think you do a great job, and it's a pleasure to finally chat with you.
Well, I appreciate it. You can put the cue cards down now. I know that somebody must have handed you that statement.
Yeah, your producer gave me that to read. So I've just got now that we got that out of the way, we can go ahead along with the interview, I guess.
You know, I've watched the Deutsche Bank, which, of course, your coverage was Sunday and Monday. So Saturday, you were in South Bend covering the Notre Dame game. That's just one heck of a weekend right there.
Yeah, that was one that I soon will not forget. You know, first of all, it was just great to be doing football again and doing a Notre Dame game. It's been a long time since I've done that. So, you know, it was complicated enough. We knew we were going to have a busy weekend. Tommy Roy, who actually produces all of our golf, was with me doing the Notre Dame game, and we knew it was going to be a busy week. It just turned out to be even busier and tighter because of the two weather delays, which for the first time, which, you know, how to do a first Notre Dame football game in 6 or 7 years, and for the first time in the 123-year history of Notre Dame football, they have not one, but two evacuations of the stadium due to the weather. So we ended up not getting out of South Bend until late at night, got into near TPC Boston like at 1 or 2 in the morning, and got up the next day and got up to speed, and we're able to do the Sunday and Monday finish. But, you know, John, that's how it is in this business sometimes. You know, I'm not complaining, because what I do for a living is absolutely a thrill and a privilege. So, but that was pretty busy.
Well, I mean, obviously, you're one of the best, if not the best, in the game at doing what you do in all the games. And it's terrific to listen to you. I would think that the travel is very hard on you and certainly on your family, but your wife is in this business too. How do you guys ever even see each other?
You know, there are times when we're ships passing in the night, so to speak. But the good thing about our schedule through the years, and it is a juggling act. We got three girls, and my wife does an incredible job with her school schedules. And when I get home during the week, I pitch in full time and get after it. So the good thing is Hannah does not do near as much traveling as I do. But sometimes we get into situations like she was just working the U.S. Open tennis, and she was going to the tennis facility, and I was at the U.S. Amateur, and Hurricane Irene came in, and our power went off. And that was one of the wildest weeks that we've had in a long time. But we figure out a way to juggle it all, and you just got to make sure that you do spend time when you have a chance to. I think too, John, what really helps from a marriage standpoint is that she understands exactly the demands of this business because she does what I do, and vice versa. So from that standpoint, we understand the business, and so we just work around it and get around it that way.
Yeah, and for our listeners that don't know, Hannah Storm from ESPN, formerly of CNN, where you guys met, incidentally, which is pretty cool. And you guys make it work. Now, just announced again that NBC has re-upped for the foreseeable future with the Olympics. What's it like working in Olympics?
It's incredible. It's the biggest spectacle in television, period. And it involves obviously the world coming to one city, and all the great athletes in the world kind of convening. It's hard to describe. It really is. But that's what made that announcement so nice to hear, was that we were going to be able to do Olympics beyond 2012 next summer in London, which was the final one of the current deal. But that I know our folks at the NBC Sports Group and Comcast and this now big company that's all a part of the Golf Channel and NBC, and got together and decided that was going to continue to be a huge importance as far as our NBC sports programming goes, that they got the deal done, and there's nothing like it. I've been a part of I think this will be my eighth or ninth Olympics coming up in London, and I've done swimming play-by-play, which was, you know, one of the great highlights of my career, was calling, you know, what happened with Michael Phelps a couple of years back in Beijing. So it's like nothing else we do in sports, the Olympics. It's got electricity about it.
One of the fun things that I like about watching the Olympics is the people that you guys put on the air during the Olympics, because a lot of the events don't get much exposure throughout the course of the 4 years in between Olympics. So the experts in that aren't necessarily professional broadcasters. That has to be interesting to work with some of those folks. I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but I'm sure that it has to be very interesting from your perspective.
It is. It's and that's what makes the whole experience unique. And let's be honest. I mean, people aren't exactly frothing at the mouth to find out what, you know, the latest swimming results are or track and field results are outside of an Olympic year. But there's something about the Olympics that every 4 years that just draws everybody in. And these analysts that come into play are so good at what they do. They follow it with a passion year round. And so when they come to an Olympics, like Rowdy Gaines, who I work with in the swimming venue, is more passionate about his sport than anybody I have I've ever come across. And so working with him in swimming and working with Dan Jansen on speed skating at the Winter Olympics has been just fantastic. And Tommy Roy, our producer, who produces all of our golf at NBC, I've been attached to the hip with him at the Olympics, the last couple for swimming and the last couple for Winter Olympics. And in my opinion, no one does a better job than he does at producing an event. And tell you what, when you go to an Olympics, you need it, it's really a pleasure to work with the best people in the business, and we get a great crew. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. It's something to look forward to every couple of years. You talk about passion though in your analysts. That guy you sit next to on the golf coverage is pretty passionate about his sport.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of analysts through the years, John, and it is. I've also been lucky to work with not only Johnny Miller, but a number of other guys. But there's not a lot of them. I mean, let's face it, there are really a select few of analysts in sports broadcasting that have the ability to make it interesting pretty much each and every time you're on the air. And Johnny, you know, he just has the no filter between the brain and the mouth, and sometimes that gets him into trouble. And he'll be the first to tell you that he wished he would have said things a little bit differently over the years. But, you know, I mean, the way I equate it whenever I get asked about Johnny is I just say, you know, the guy broadcasts a lot like he played. He goes for flags, and sometimes you're going to have some wrecks out there, and sometimes things aren't going to come out exactly like a PGA Tour player would want to hear it. And but that's just kind of the risk and the line you walk on. And he's just great. I don't think people realize how hard it is to make the sport fresh and new and kind of, you know, really fun to listen to each and every time we come on the air. And he's able to do that. I mean, it's every time you got to buckle the seatbelt up, listen carefully, because you never know what's coming your way.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a lot of fun. I remember as a player being in the locker room, Paul Stankowski shot something on a Saturday that he wasn't particularly proud of, and he didn't come in and ask any questions in the players' lounge other than, how bad did Johnny rip me today?
I tell you, I've had incidents, and I won't name caddies or players, but we have had incidents in the past where I have come out of the tower after coming off the air, and there's been a caddy at the bottom of the stairs waiting for Johnny to come out and give, and the caddy would want to know why, you know, why Johnny criticized his player or whatnot. And you know, so there's been some instances where it's gotten pretty interesting, you know, after coming off there. But the thing is a lot of these guys hear it secondhand. You know, they'll have their wife either watching from back home or their girlfriend or an uncle or whatever, and they'll go, boy, Johnny ripped you on the air. And it really, really wasn't the case. If you listen to it on air in context, the vast, vast majority of the time, high percentage of the time, he's pretty much right on.
Well, and he puts as much work into what he's doing now as he did when he was a player, and that's why he is the icon of the sport that he is. Of course, our guest is Dan Hicks. You know the voice. Dan, how did you get your big break? Obviously, there's a lot of guys in broadcasting school that want to know, how do you get to become Dan Hicks?
Well, you know, it's first of all, you got to have a passion, you got to have that drive and all that. I mean, that's first and foremost. You got to know that it's competitive out there, but you got to know what you want. But I think you got to kind of make your own breaks a little bit. And I think if you have that attitude, you're going to come out all right. Big break for me was I was working at I did radio right out of college, and that was great. Just get on the air any way you can. Then I worked for the local NBC affiliate in my hometown of Tucson, Arizona. That was a nice break to get my television start. But the biggest break really was going from Tucson to CNN, where you're on a national kind of level. And I remember being so nervous going to Atlanta. I'd never really been out of Tucson, and I get hired by CNN, which is at the time, this is 1987 or 88, something like that. Yeah, 87. And I mean, I was just like, boy, I'm working with Nick Charles. You know, God rest his soul. He just passed away not too long ago. He was a part of a great team at CNN with Nick Charles, and Fred Hickman, and Dan Patrick was there, and Vince Cellini, and my wife Hannah was there. That's where I met her. So that was the big break, you know. And I just at the right time, it came along. They needed an anchor, and I got there, and then I got to NBC Sports from there when I'd never done any play-by-play. So it's stepping stones, and it's just kind of mapping out a plan and just having the blinders on and just doing what you do and loving what you do.
Well, that begs the question, where can you possibly go from where you are?
You know, it's I love what I do. I've said it many times. If somebody said, you know what, you could only do one sport for the rest of your career, what would it be? I would have to say golf. I love it that much. And I think that has a lot to do not only with my love of the game, but the people that we work with on this golf crew, from Tommy Roy on down to Johnny Miller. We've all been together for a long time, and there's a special appreciation that you have for working with an organization and a crew that's been working together for so long. You can't fake it. You know, it's only comes through years and years of working together. So I don't think it can get much better from that standpoint. I loved doing the football game that I did a couple weeks ago at Notre Dame. It'd be fun to do a little bit more football down the road, but, you know, pretty busy as it is right now with the Olympics and the new Olympic deal that we got, along with the new golf, the PGA Tour deal that takes us into, gosh, I don't know, 2021, I think.
I was about to say, we're all taking odds on how many of you live through that deal.
What's that?
We're all taking odds on how many of you guys actually make it to the end of that deal.
We were just joking today. I was joking with Johnny. I said, do you want to read? You know, I've done enough of these MetLife blimp pops. Do you want to read one of these, Johnny? And he said, I'll only read it if you can't do it. And he goes, that'll be the time. He goes, when I'm like 99 years old and you're still struggling through the MetLife blimp pops, then maybe I'll do it then. But I think, you know, I told Johnny, I said, you know, with this newest deal, I said, this is great. You can, you know, ride off into the sunset, you know, with, you know, whatever time you're going to, you know, whatever time frame you want to put on it. And the guy is 64 years old, and he's got more years left doing this. But I think with that deal in place, it's going to be great to go out as a team, I think, especially, you know, at least with Johnny, because he's just been such a huge part of what I do and what, you know, and what the world of golf broadcasting has done, you know.
Well, I've already kept you longer than I promised you, but I have one more question to ask you, and that is, how's your golf game?
Oh, man, John, it's up and down. It's like a, it's kind of like Sergio Garcia's game was today. club over the knee. No, you know, I've been as low as a 5 handicap, but right now I'm up 7 something. So, you know, I mean, I shoot in the 80s. I break 80 once in a while, but that's pretty much it. And I would love to get out and play more, but between 3 kids and my wife who works and the demanding travel, it's hard to do. But get a lot of opportunities. Sometimes I play more golf on the road than I do at home. You know, I'll usually have the clubs with me and we'll get a chance to play, but not this week, but and probably not next week in Atlanta. But I love to play, and every chance I get, I do. I think it's one of the great things you can do. It's one of the great ways you can spend 5 hours. I love it.
I agree with that. And I would imagine you get a little intimidated if Johnny brings his clubs or Roger or any of those guys.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten Johnny out of the course a little bit. I've played more golf with Johnny probably in the last 3-4 years than I have in the, you know, the 15 previous years that I've known him, as far as a working standpoint goes. I think that's because, you know, I think Johnny's kind of stopping and smelling the roses a little bit. And if we have some time, sometimes at the Players' Championship, we have a little time before it gets going because we got to get in early for meetings and all that. And I'll say, let's go play 18. And he'll be like, he used to be like, I didn't bring my clubs. But now I'm getting the answer more and more of, yeah, let's go. You
nice.
Know, it's kind of an appreciation for you know, kind of what, you know, what he's been able to accomplish in the game and what he's been able to accomplish in broadcasting. It's just kind of stopping and appreciating everything. It's been fun.
Yeah, I will never forget the speech that he gave at that meeting, Golf Channel NBC meeting that I was fortunate enough to attend earlier this
that's
year.
Right.
I mean, that was spectacular.
It
really was.
From the heart, and that's what I think resonates with the public at home. And he'll be the first to tell you that he broadcasts for the people at home, John, and not for the players, not for their wives, or for the, you know, the commissioner or the tour or whoever. He broadcasts for the people at home, and I think if all broadcasters kind of kept that in mind on the forefront, I think we'd probably all do a better job.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have a job if I did that.
Yeah, there's a fine line there at times, too, that you got to pay attention to, that's for sure.
Dan, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I have 1,000 more questions for you, but I'm gonna let you go so that I can call you again sometime soon.
Yeah, John, I'd love to come on with you, and as I said, really, really enjoy your show, and your style is very, very laid back and good, but I mean, that's a style that often gets the best material out of people. And I think I told you earlier, I listened to your interview with David Duvall. It's one of the, and he, now let's be honest, David Duvall is a great interview, but you did a fantastic job with him, and I think your style brings out a lot to people. So I appreciate having me on, and I look forward to it in the future.
I do too. And next time we're up in the same town, let's tee it up. I need two aside.
You do? I don't think that's going to happen. We'll negotiate that, John. That's to be determined. But, yeah, that'd be fun, man. That'd be fun to play with another real pro.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I qualify anymore, but I appreciate it. You are definitely a real pro, and we appreciate the time.
Anytime, John. Take care of yourself.